For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
If you learn to Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Ches, and Perek Lamed Ches, we see there that Goig is the king of Magog, and is the Nasi of Meshech and Tuvo. And he will come together with Paras, Cush, and Put. The Yushalmi and Megillah explains that Paras is Iran, Meshech is Misya, which Mefarshim say is Moscow, and Tuvol is possibly North Korea, according to Tzipisa Yeshua, according Reb Yoel Schwartz. Reb Sadia Goin, in his Pirush on Sefer Daniel, says that the 10th king of Rome is the last one, and that is Russia, with an Arab ruler in Yerushalayim. It's interesting that the Arabs are usually militarily backed by Russia. Goig is the gematria of 12. Umagog is the gematria of 58, which equals together 70, that all the nations are included in this milchama of Goig Umagog. A support that all the nations will be involved in this milchama is from the pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Veiz. It says, V'asafti es kol ha'amim el Yerushalayim la'milchama. All of the nations will come to Yerushalayim for war. Some suggest that the United Nation, being an anti-Jewish organization, perhaps is a kiyum of this. In Aleinu L'Shabeach of Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein in Parshas Vayechi, he quotes the Abarbanel in Mayanei HaYeshua, Mayan Yir Alif Tamar Ches, that the final war before Mashiach comes will be a war of the Christian countries against the Muslim countries. He says that first the Christians will win and conquer Eretz Yisrael, and then the Muslims will overpower the Christians. He says that they have a Messiah going back to the Nevi'im, that every nation will be involved in this war, and it will literally be waged at the gates of Yerushalayim. He also says that even the names of the generals that will be on both sides have been passed down by Messiah. The Medrash also seems to say that Mashiach will ultimately redeem us from Yishmael, not from Edom. As the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha on the pasuk of Vehinei Ema Chashecha Gedela Nefeles Olav, so says the Medrash, Nefeles is Malchus Edom, and Olav is Zu Malchus Yishmaelim She'alehem Ben David Yitzmach, that Ben David is going to take over from the Muslims. Reb Chaim Vital, in his Sefer on Tehillim, Eitz Hadas Toiv, in Kapitel Kuf Chaf Dalid, this is also quoted in Aleinu L'Shabeach in Parshas Vayechi, explains that Bekum Aleinu Adam, that Adam is Yishmael, and that it is known that there will be four Galuyos, which are Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. Then after the four Galuyos will be a fifth Galus, Galus Yishmael, because since he is a descendant of Avraham Avinu, and he has Zchus Avais, and he has the Zchus of Mila, which the Muslims have kept, therefore his Galus is going to be harder than the other Galus. And that is why they are called Yishmael, because the Yidden are going to call out from this Galus, and Hashem will answer, Yishmakel. And these Yishmael will rule the world and over Klal Yisrael, and they will intend to wipe Klal Yisrael out from under the sky. We've mentioned the Vilna Gaon quite a bit, so I'd like to stop now and talk a little bit of background about the Vilna Gaon. And this is based on an article that I saw in the Kulmus. The Gro lived in Vilna and always dreamed and taught his Talmidim about the Chavivos of Eretz Yisrael, and he was ma'ir them to take practical steps towards rebuilding Eretz Yisrael. And there are two scenarios, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, mentions. One is Be'ita, and one is Achishena. Mashiach can come either Be'ita or Achishena. Achishena is through Isarusa de la'ela, with Nisim. And Be'ita is through Isarusa de la'sata. That's through us taking steps al piderech hateva, with slow, gradual steps. This is also described as ani roichev al hachamor. The Gaon de Tikkuni Zohar writes that the second scenario will vaday be the way it will happen, and therefore he encourages Talmidim to take steps towards the Geula. When the Vilna Gaon was older, around 40 years old, he himself tried to go to Eretz Yisrael. He raised finances for this trip, he traveled to Amsterdam, he got as far as Istanbul, and some say the reason why he went in this roundabout route was because he wanted other tzaddikim to join him. He sent a message to one of the hidden tzaddikim in the city of Brody to join him on his trip to Eretz Yisrael, and the tzaddik told him, "I can't," and also told him that he himself will not be successful in going to Eretz Yisrael. During this trip, he wrote the famous Igeres Hagra, and after he reached Istanbul, he turned around and he returned all of the money that he had raised for the trip. There's evidence that he attempted 10 years later at least one more trip to go to Eretz Yisrael. The second trip was intended to establish an Ashkenazi community in Yerushalayim, and he spent several weeks in Amsterdam and decided then to return home again. It is known that the Chida, Rabbi Yosef David Azulai from Chevron, was in Amsterdam at the same time, raising funds for the Sephardi communities in Eretz Yisrael. Some suggest that the two met, and this may have lended towards the Gaon deciding not to go to Eretz Yisrael. He returned from the second trip to Vilna in the year 5539. Many asked him why he turned back, but he would not answer. And there's various suggestions that have been offered. Finally, he told his son a few times, "I don't have rishus from Shemayim." The Vilna Gaon was nifter in the year 5558. In the year 5560, 2 years after he passed away, Reb Chaim Volozhin, who was the main Talmud of the Gra, gathered the Gra's Talmidim, and he encouraged them to fulfill the chaloim of their Rebbe, to be established a Ashkenazi kehila in Eretz Yisrael. 8 years later, in the year 5568, or 1808, they were able to send the first group of 10 people, led by Reb Menachem Mendel Mishklov, to Eretz Yisrael. That group reached Tveria, but due to the resistance of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov who were living there, who were misnaged to the Talmidim of the Gra coming, they left Tveria and moved to Tzfas. 1 year later, in 5568 or 1809, another group, called Ayelas HaShachar, with 70 people, left Belarus, White Russia, led by Reb Sadia ben Reb Nata. They traveled to Odessa and embarked on four different Greek ships. After reaching Istanbul, the crew refused to continue until they were paid a huge sum of money. Instead, after a long wait in Turkey, they traveled to Haifa and reached Tzfas. A third group, led by Reb Chaim Katz and Reb Yisrael Mishklov, traveled in 5570. In all, close to 500 people traveled to Eretz Yisrael, and during the trip with Reb Yisrael Mishklov, a famous story unfolded. Reb Yisrael Mishklov traveled with his group by day and by night, any way possible, to get to the port where they would find a boat, a rickety boat that would take them to Eretz Yisrael. But the boat was already full. But still they were able to squeeze on, and he and the Talmidim were able to get onto the boat and go to Eretz Yisrael. In those days, it was a month trip by boat to get to Eretz Yisrael. In the early weeks, everything went normally. But suddenly the skies became dark, strong winds began to blow, a very fierce rain pelted down on them, and the boat began to rock back and forth. For 2 whole days, the boat was bounced around among the waves like a little piece of cotton, and it was getting very, very difficult, too difficult to bear. Many of the passengers got seasick, and were vomiting, and even more than that, or worse than that, was the threat that this old rickety boat won't be able to stand up to the beating it was getting. So after 2 days of the storm, the captain of the boat went to Reb Yisrael Mishklov, and he said to him, "Can you come with me to the end of the boat?" And they stood in a quiet place, and they had a private conversation. Soon after that, Reb Yisrael Mishklov said, "I want to have a meeting with all of my Talmidim, and I want to speak to them." So they all gathered together. The deck was exposed to the elements, but they all gathered on the deck, and they each held on to each other that they shouldn't fall off the boat. And everyone understood that there's going to be a very difficult message being passed on to them. So Reb Yisrael Mishklov gave the following message, and he said, "Mayra Avira Baisai, a few moments ago I met with the captain of the boat, and he told me the following. I've been 30 years on the sea. I have never experienced such a rough storm, such a fierce storm. And keeping in mind that this boat is an old boat, I'm afraid that the boat cannot stand up to the beating that it's getting. My assessment," said the captain, "is that this boat is going to split into two pieces in not too long, and we're all going to drown." The captain said, "I don't know if people should know about this, but since you, Reb Yisrael, are the leader of the group, I'm going to tell you, and it's up to you if you want to tell anyone else." So Reb Yisrael Mishklov said, "In my opinion, it's clear. I have to tell you this information. Because if it was decreed in Shemayim that we should all go down to the bottom of the ocean together, then we should use this, our last moments together, to do tshuva. And that's why I'm gathering you all together, so that together we can do tshuva and come to the Olam HaEmes, clean from Averis. And how should we do this tshuva? I would like to suggest the following. The Gemara in Saita says that vido you say belachash, you silently say vido so that other people won't hear your chatoyim that you did, and learn that you can do Averis. But by us, that has no meaning, because we're all going to die. And therefore, we'll never be able to do the Averis that we hear from other people that they did. So if so, I'm suggesting that all of us say out loud, Bekoil, all the Averis that we did, and the Busha that we'll all have, will be a kapara for our Averis. And with that, the gates of Gan Eden will open for us, and the nevuah and will come to the gates of Gan Eden pure and clean from Avera." So everyone agreed to his suggestion, and they decided they're going to start in age order, the youngest first. So the youngest Talmud got up to speak, and he was holding on to the deck, and the winds were blowing hard, and the rain was pounding. But none of them were thinking about that, because they now were thinking of the tremendous task that they have to do tshuva, to prepare, to go to Gan Eden, to the Shari Gan Eden. So the youngest Talmud stands up in front of everyone. He covers his face with his hands, and he cries, and he's sobbing. And slowly he begins to speak with his head down, and this is what he said. He said, "I'm embarrassed. I'm mortified to even pick up my face to you. I have to confess that for 2 years I lied to my mother." Everyone stood there shocked. How could it be that a Talmud Chacham could lie to his mother? But he continued, and he said, "Maisa shehaya kachaya." He says, "We once got to Vilna, and in my family there were 9 children. I was the oldest. I was not even 13 years old, but we had mazel that we were zeicha to have a home that was next to the home of the Vilna Gaon. And my father had a store, and when he would come home every night from the store, he would sit down in the room next door to, adjacent to the wall, where the Vilna Gaon sat on the other side of that room, learning Torah. And he would listen. it's known that the Vilna Gaon would sleep only 2 days, 2 hours a day. And all the rest of the time he was learning or davening. The stipler, the Keilas Yaakov, used to say to boys that came to get a bracha from him before their bar mitzvah, that if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, I'll make a plan for you. In every day, there's 24 hours. 8 of them, you should sleep. If so, you have 16 hours left. From them, 2 hours you should daven, Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. 2 hours you could use for mealtime and doing needs. So you have only 12 hours left, which you could learn. Those hours should be Muktash v'Limud HaTorah. So if you follow this every single day from now on, by the time you reach your chasana, you'll be finished Seyda Noshem, Seyda Nezikin, Be'ion, and you'll go into the chuppah as a Talmud Chacham. So the boy continued, and he said, one night, his father came home, and he heard the Vilna Gaon learning out loud. And he said, hundreds of times, the Vilna Gaon kept on repeating the Maamar Chazal. How could people leave Chayei Olam and be Oisek and Chayei Shah? And the Vilna Gaon that was learning the Gemara in Shabbos about the story of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, that when they came out of the cave after 12 years, after 13 years, they were shocked that people were being Oisek in their Melacha and not being Oisek in Torah. And they said, Menichan Chayei Olam, Oisekim B'Chayei Shah, how could they be worried about their Parnasa and not be living for Olam Haba? What does this mean? That the Chayei HaTorah, the life of Torah that we say, Chayei Olam Nata B'Seichenu, what is Chayei Olam? That means eternity. What is eternity? So, to relate to eternity, imagine a bird that comes once every 50 years. And it takes one kernel of sand from a huge mountain and throws it into the sea. Could you imagine that he's going to finish moving that mountain into the sea? It's never going to happen. So too, Chayei Olam. Chayei Olam is Netzach, Nitzchias. We can do something forever, and we still won't be we still won't reach Nitzchias. So the Vilna Gaon says they're leaving Chayei Olam and living Oisik and Chayei Shah. Said this boy, when my father heard the Gaon's words, the words penetrated his heart so deep, and that night he couldn't sleep. In his mind, he was asking himself, what about his own Chayei Olam? And the next morning, he woke up and he said to my mother, he says, my dear wife, I don't know if you heard what the girl was saying last night, but I heard, and it changed me, it made me into a new person. I have a very strong desire to close the store and to sit from morning to end and to learn Torah. But I can only do that if you agree to take over the Parnassa. So the mother, who was a very chashuv person, was maskim. And from that day on, she worked in the store. And her father, her husband, sat and learned all day. And after a long tekufa, she saw that she couldn't handle it. And she closed the store, but she didn't let her husband stop learning. She continued to support the family by baking bread and by washing floors, by being a cleaning lady at the houses of the rich people. So the boy continues saying his vidui on this storm-stricken ship. And he says that when this was too hard for my mother, she gathered us together, the children, and she said, you know that our tati has given up Chayei Shah to be Oisek and Chayei Olam. And I was mekabel on myself with simcha to support the family, because I was excited. I was makir the greatness of this challenge. But my dear children, I'm now at a matziv that I can't do it. I cannot. I simply can't. Until today, I used to feed you 2 meals a day. Now going forward, I can only give you 1 meal a day. If you all agree to do this, then Abba can continue to learn. But if you're going to insist on having 2 meals a day, we're going to have to ask Abba to go back to the store. So the children thought about it, and they answered that when they saw how committed their father was, and his mesiras to Torah, and the mesiras nefesh of their mother, they, without any hesitation, told her, their mother, we're mevater on the meal. We'll eat only one meal a day. And our mother was so happy. But in my mind, I had questions. I thought to myself that one meal that we have every day is not going to be like a filling meal. So I was thinking, well, what else can I, the oldest child, do to help this work? So I made the following decision, and I told my mother, my portion you could divide among the other 8 children, because dafka today I got a message in Cheder that starting tomorrow they're going to give us a seuda every day, one meal every day in Cheder. My mother was so happy, and she quickly asked, but really are you going to get a meal in Cheder? And I said, yes. And that was Sheker. And every day my mother asked me, did you get a meal in Cheder? And I lied every day for 2 whole years. Yes, I did eat the leftovers of the food that my friends brought from home, but I never ate a whole meal like I told my mother. And for this Sheker, I say vidui in front of you, Moirei v'Rabbeisai. The wind continued to blow, the rain didn't stop, and the people were grasping onto the fence around the deck, and they were soaked to their bones. And they stood there with their hearts beating, listening to this vidui, this wrenching vidui from the youngest Talmid. They never could have imagined that this young Talmid could have reached this madrega of tzedakah, and for more than 2 years, not eat a whole meal, only eat the leftovers of other people. All this so that his young brothers shouldn't be hungry, and so that his mother could continue to encourage her husband to learn Torah. Such a high madrega, now joined and swept over all of the people on that ship. Who would have ever thought to say vidui for such a sheker? And here we have a person who learned from his parents the value of Chaye Yoylam, the shiflus of Chaye Shah. And through that, he was able to discern and say vidui while crying and sobbing for the sheker that he said to be mechazek Torah and to do chesed with his siblings. After this vidui ended, Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov lifted up his hands to Shemayim and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, on the first day of Slichos, we say, Pineinu el hatalois v'al lechatois, meaning we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done many averes, but please, in your goodness, Ribbono shel Olam, see how much we're suffering, see how much distractions we have, how much stress we're under. There's no day she'ein kilasim rubim mechaverta. We're nirdafim, we're mushpalim, we have so many nisyonai. So don't judge us based on our maisim by just looking at the actions. Consider the situation that we're in. So pnei nol hatalois, look at the things that we're experiencing. And v'al lechatois, don't look at the averus alone. Says Rabbi Shalom Yishkulov in his tefillah, but I tell you, Ribbono shel Olam, pnei nol hatalois, look at the averus. Look at the Aveira that this Yid is being misvada for, and save us for his sake, if not for our own sake. At that time, an amazing thing happened. When Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov finished his tefillah, the sun began to peek through the clouds, and the wind began to settle. The rain slowly stopped, the clouds began to scatter, and the sea began to settle down. The boat continued to travel until it reached safe land. It's impossible to imagine the Kiddush Hashem that was there. The Goyim were standing around and watching the Jews. and they watch this Talmud sobbing his eyes out in front of all of them. And they suddenly see Rabbi Yisrael lift up his hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was clear of the connection between his tefillah and between the Yeshua that came. And everyone stood there witnessing the kirva between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. A Jew, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, said a few sentences and suddenly the storm stops. At that moment, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov and all of the Chabura started saying, Mizmar l'sayda hariul Hashem kol haaretz. And the Satmar Rebbe would explain, why did they dafka say this capital? Because Chazal say in Yerushalmi, in Shavuos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was medea to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the vidya of Yom Kippur will be mechaper on the averus of Klal Yisrael, Moshe said, Mizmar l'sayda. As an expression of the toiva that the vidui brings. And Rabbi Yisrael, when he saw that the vidui on the ship was miskabel by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he followed the example of Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Mizmar l'sayda. But you see from here the koyach of tshuva, how we talk after we mitztayer over the maisim, the averis that we've done. But this tshuva was a unique tshuva, because the misvada in this story was Megala his tsar for the most minute avera. But we can learn a kal v'chaymer from this, how we have to be misyachis to our averis, which we do the whole year. We have to be misvada for them and be betzar, me'oimek halev, and to be mekabel to be better. Similarly, we see the koyach of tzedakah. Tzedakah is not dafka giving a pruta to an ani, but being mevater for someone else, being mevater on your food, that's also called tzedakah. There are many times that we have the opportunity to give our energy, our time, or our property for people, other people, and sometimes we don't pay attention that we're really being selfish and only worrying about ourselves, because we love ourselves, and therefore we're not focused on the tsar of others. But this we also learn from the story, the koyach of tefillah, the koyach of tshuva. This was the lesson of this trip of Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov with the Talmidei HaGra on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Due to terrible financial stress, the leaders of all the three groups encouraged Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov to be a fundraiser for the new Ashkenazi community that was developing in Eretz Yisrael. They sent with him a letter encouraging others to join them in Eretz Yisrael and to support the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael was very successful. He traveled through Europe, through Lithuania, through Russia, and he was delayed in Russia due to a war that broke out between Napoleon and Russia. 3 years later, he returned, and he was appointed the head of the community in Tzfas, and later in Yerushalayim for almost 30 years. After this wave of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, others were also inspired to move in mass to Eretz Yisrael. Other examples are the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Eger, and the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, who also moved to Eretz Yisrael. The first 30 years of the Yishuv of the Talmidei HaGra was called the Tekufas HaYisurim, the era of Yisurim, of suffering, because there were many plagues, there were wars, there was financial difficulty. During the year 5573, 400 of the original 500 Talmidei HaGra were nifter in a magefa. The most difficult event, though, was the famous earthquake in Tzfas, which was in 1837, that 2,000 Yidden were killed in that earthquake. Following year, there were many magefais and pogroms, and the Yishuv in Tzfas was almost eradicated. After these terrible things happened, people turned to building the Ashkenazi community in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, who had been in Yerushalayim during the earthquake, buying the courtyard of the famed Chor Vashul, and he used to say that he was saved from the earthquake because of his mesiras to buy the land. So he sent for his family and moved with them to Yerushalayim, where he joined Reb Menachem Mendel Mishklov. They were met there with a huge challenge. Previously, in the year 5461, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid had come to Eretz Yisrael with 1,000 Ashkenazim. They immediately bought the property, which was later built, upon which they built the Shul of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, which is now known as the Churva Shul. In order to purchase this, they borrowed money from the local Arabs with high interest. 1 week later, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was nifter, and his group fell apart, and there was no one left to pay up the debt. In the meantime, an effort was made to complete the shul and have minyanim there. The Arabs waited 20 years for their debt to be paid, and then they finally burnt down the shul. And that is why it was known as the Churva. Then they banished all the Ashkenazi Jews from Yerushalayim, excluding a few who were dressing like the Sephardim. And the Arabs and their descendants decided that the loan now rests on all Ashkenazi Jews, and any Ashkenazi Jew that wanted to live in Yerushalayim was forced to pay a large amount of money or to be in danger. Reb Menachem Mendel Mishklov wanted to move to Yerushalayim after the Magefa in 5573. 10 others came with him. To avoid the issue of the loan still owed by the Ashkenazim to the Arabs, they dressed in the traditional Sephardi dress and joined the Sephardic community. Finally, in the year 5591 or 1831, the ruling Ottomans were chased out by Muhammad Ali, who was the ruler in Egypt, and he appointed the mayor Ibrahim to be the mayor of Yerushalayim, and he canceled the debt owed by the Ashkenazi Jews to the Arabs. They then received permits and started to rebuild the Churva. Moses Montefiore donated a large sum to help rebuild the Churva, and the building was finished in 5597. However, there were small little pieces that were not completely finished until about 20 years later in 5617. Yerushalayim developed quickly until 5620 or 1860. In 1860 was the first time in 1800 years that the Jews had a majority in Yerushalayim. The Talmidim of the Gra continued to build and encourage others to come. Rav Yaakov Sapir brought thousands of Yidden from Yemen in the year 5642, and they called that Aliyah A'aleh B'Samar. There was a song written by the Talmidim of the Gra, where the lyrics were, Yerushalayim HaBenuya, Bizchus Rabbeinu Aliyah, V'keitz HaGeula Na'ira, Min HaMeitzar L'merchavya. These lyrics were in line with the vision of the Vilna Gaon, that we have to take concrete steps to bring about the Geula. The ultimate purpose of Eretz Yisrael is that we can go there to do mitzvahs and become closer to Hashem, like the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Bey says, the heir of Eretz Yisrael is machkim, which makes us wiser to be able to learn Torah, like the Gemara in Baba Basra says. And we know that Asar Kaban of Chachma came to the world, and 9 of the Kav were taken by Eretz Yisrael. The tzaddikim, when traveling to Eretz Yisrael, would go quickly out of their chavivos of Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Kuf Yud Beis says. They would kiss the stones and lay on the ground, as the pasuk says, "Ki ratzu avadecha savaneha besafar yechaynenu." This has always been throughout the ages, even before the mass return to Eretz Yisrael in 1948. The Yidden always kissed the ground and rolled in the dirt. Eretz Yisrael has a tchuna about it that it spits out ovdei avera, like the pasuk says, "Vaysaki ha'aretz eschem b'tamachem isa." What role may the modern establishment of a Jewish state have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine plan? The Ramban in Bereishis Perek Bey says, "Asher bara likim lasais," that lasais includes the idea that the Sheshes Yimei Maisa contain within them the entire future existence of the world, all of its 6,000 years, which is why the Chachamim say Ki elef shanim beinecha ki yoyim esmol. That 1,000 years to a human is like 1 day to Hashem. And the Ramban continues showing parallels and says, on the morning of the 6th day, animals appeared on earth. They were created before Alayis HaShachar, as it's alluded to in the Pasuk, and then man was created. This is in the 6th millennium, for at the outset, the animalistic societies that do not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu are going to be in control. So if you do some math, every 24 hours, which would be nightfall to nightfall of creation, is 1,000 years of history. So every 12 hours of the first week relate to 500 years of history. That means each hour from the first week of creation is 41.6 years. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Chanina, that B'Shach Chamishes, he stood up on his feet. Adam stood on his feet. B'Shishes, he gave names to the animals. So the 5th hour is 5 times 41.6, right? Because each hour is 41.6 years. So 5 times 41.6 is 208. This is the year 5708. Why? Because if you start counting 5,500, would be the morning of the last 1,000 years. So you add to that 208 and you get 5708, which is 1948, the year that the Yidden stood their feet in Eretz Yisrael. At that time, the Bris Kerov said that this is definitely a hashgacha that these coincided. My grandmother, Aleha Shalom Rebbetzin, Leah Per, would give another hint from the Pasuk in Daniel, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yedbeis to Yedalid, which also, when you count the 2,300 days and nights that he's referring to, if you count each day as a year, and you count backwards, it turns out that the 1948 was exactly 2,300 years after from when this pasuk was said in Daniel. And my grandmother would always add on that pasuk is referring to the land, not to the people. There's also a hint when Klal Yisrael will have the Geula, but she would say, that I can't tell you. I won't be alive, but you will. But this brings up a point that whenever we talk about dates, the dates that we have might not be accurate, and that alone is a whole other conversation. Regarding Kibbutz Goliyos, we know that the Geula is going to be gradual and natural. As Rav Chanan writes in Tzipisa Yeshua, the Gra says it will gradually progress, including 999 steps from the beginning of the Geula until the end. The Gra explains that the meeting of Esav and Yaakov and preparing for the worst, followed by Yaakov being embraced by Esav, and then shaking off the embrace of Esav by saying, Vani Esnala Li'iti, that this hints to the final Geula. Yaakov first divided the camp, like it says, V'hoya ha-machanecha ha-nish'ar l'fleita, which symbolizes that even if one part of Klal Yisrael is destroyed, there will always be Jews in another country that are safe. Yaakov Avinu sends a group of animals, V'revach tasimu bein eder uvein eder, which is meramis that HaKadosh Baruch will give us breaks from persecution throughout Galus. However, by Ikvas HaDemashicha, there will not be any breaks. There will be constant persecution. Yaakov then sent out the maidservants first, showing that first the Erev Rav will return to Eretz Yisrael, and they will be the shepherds, the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Also, the Zohar HaKadosh and the Tikkuni HaZohar in Shir HaShirim say this as well. He adds that the Erev Rav are worse than Oivdei Avodah Zarah, because Klal Yisrael are attracted to them, and because of their temporary success. And that is why the Golus continues. And the Rambam writes in a letter that I have many rayas from the simple reading of the Psukim that the Geula is going to unfold gradually. that first people from the nation of Klal Yisrael will settle in the land of Eretz Yisrael with the permission of the kings of the earth. And that resettlement of the land of Eretz Yisrael will come before Mashiach. Matzvi zeh, nireh v'chayzer v'nizkasa v'nireh, just like a deer can be seen, and then it disappears, and it's seen again. Kach goyel acharon, so too the final goyel, nigla lahem v'chayzer v'nizkasa mihem, is revealed to them and then hides itself from them. The Medrash Tehillim says, l'fi she'ein ha'gula ba'al umma zu bevas achas ela kima kima. The Gula is not going to come at one moment. It's going to come little by little, in small steps. The Yerushalmi in Brachas also says, Amar loy Rav Chia le Rav Shimon, kach hi gulasan shel Yisrael, betchila kima kima, kol ma shehi ha'leches, hi rabba v'ha'leches. As it progresses, it begins to speed up. Uma, Uma tam, and what's the pasuk that shows us? Ki eishev b'choshech Hashem arli, and that said the same in the Zohar and Pashas Vayishlach. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer from the Talmidim of Reb Akiva Eger writes in his Sefer Shivas Tzion Chelak Beis that laat laat titzmach keren Yeshua, that slowly, slowly will the keren haYeshua blossom. Vereishes haGeula tia al yidei. Siba tivis midei edoim, that the cause of the geula will come by natural means, by the hands of edoim. However, we find that the opposite is also mentioned, that things will unfold quickly. In Hosea Perek Gimel, the pasuk says, "Ubikshu es Hashem elikehem, v'yas David Malkam." In Yismamea Chakeloi, if Mashiach dallies, comes late, wait for him. Kivoy yavoy, because he will come. And yavoy, voy yavoy, is mashma, he's going to come quickly. Meaning, he hasn't come yet, but when he comes, he's going to come fast. Also, the pasuk says, mi'ele ka'ov te'ufena, that the geula will come like a cloud blown in the wind, which is rapidly. Also in Malachi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, it says, pisayim yovay al ha'echoloi ha'odoin, asher atem mevakshim, which means it's going to come quick. So, on one hand, we see it's going to come with slow steps, 999 steps. On the other hand, we see, Mekairis, that it's going to come very quickly. So the Chafetz Chaim in Tzipisul Yeshua writes that there will be a slow build-up, but once the time of the Geula comes, it'll unfold very rapidly, since all the prerequisites were slowly moved into place beforehand. Reb Meir Simcha Devinsk, the Ar Sameach, says that Eretz Yisrael is going to be rebuilt the same way it was destroyed. Just as Eretz Yisrael was destroyed as a result of the Chaitim, as the result of the bad people, so too it's going to be rebuilt by the Chaitim. By the way, Rav Meir Simcha passed away before anyone dreamed that there would even be a Jewish country. And he adds that historically this is true. The destruction of the second bias was a direct result of a disagreement between the generals of Yochanan Gush Cholov and Shimon Bar Giura, who were arguing with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The generals did not want to surrender to the Romans, and Rabbi Yochanan told them to surrender. They believed that their physical abilities, or because of their belief in their physical abilities, that is why the Churban had happened. There's another thought that I heard from my grandmother, Rebbetzin Leah Per, and she says that Hashem created the world in a way that there's no waste. She says, waste decays and returns to the ecological system. Water evaporates and comes back in the form of rain. Hashem doesn't waste anything, including people. When Hashem wants to bring the Yidden back to Eretz Yisrael, and this takes a lot of sweat and blood, who should be put to work to do this? Definitely not the ones who are busy being Oivdei Hashem. So he chose those who were not advancing Kvod Shamayim, to recycle them, that they too should do something beneficial. Rabbeinu Bechayin Parsha Shemini Perek Yud Aleph says that the Beis HaMikdash will be built by Edom, since they are the ones that destroyed it. And he disagrees with the Rambam, who says that Mashiach ben David will build the Beis HaMikdash. Know that Edom is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. When meeting Esav, Yaakov put forward the Shvachais and their children. Yaakov then put Leah and her children. And the Vilna Gaon explains that Leah and her children represents the Amei Haaretz, people who are not well-learned, but are good people. And then he put forward Rachel and Yosef, and the Gro explains that refers to the Talmidei Chachamim. But all this will be Vani Yisnahal Aliti. It'll happen very slowly. And he explains that this must be so, since if we are being Nigal not for our own Zchusim, we wouldn't be able to deal with a sudden Geula. And that's why it has to come slowly, so that we could be acclimated to the Geula, since we're not going to be on the Madrega. Then the Torah tells us the story of the fight between Yaakov and the Sar of Esav before Alayis HaShachar, which teaches us that the Geula, by the Zman of the Geula, is going to be a struggle between the Koichos of Tumah and the Talmidei Chachamim. And the Koichos of Tumah will succeed in injuring the Talmidei Chachamim, like it says, Vateka Kaf Yerach Yaakov. And some say these are the children of Klal Yisrael. And that may be why there's so many children at risk from families of Talmidei Chachamim, because of Vateka Kaf Yerach Yaakov. Others say it's referring to the Tamchin de'Araisa, those who support Torah. The Gemara in Shavuos, in Ksuvis, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, brings down the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Hishbati Eschem B'nois Yerushalayim, Im Ta'iru V'im Ta'iru Es Ha'ava Atche Techbots, that I make you swear, B'nois Yerushalayim, that you won't awaken the love until it's wanted. So the Gemara says that there are three Shavuos that are mentioned in the Pesukim, and Shgimel Shavuos Halelu Lama. Why do we need these three Shavuos? What are these three Shavuos? Achas, one of them is Shalal Yalul Yisrael Bechayma, that Klal Yisrael should not go up to Eretz Yisrael with an army to return from Galus. V'achas, Shehishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael, Shaloi Yimridu Be'umais, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Klal Yisrael swear that we won't rebel against the nations. V'achas, Shehishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'ovdei Kechavim, Shliyishtabdu behem beYisrael Yisemidai, that Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Goyim make a shvua that they won't be mishtabed with Klal Yisrael, they won't enslave Klal Yisrael too much. And the Gemara adds, imekaymen es shvua mutav, if we fulfill the shvua, good. V'imlav ani matias pisarchem ketzvois uchayolais asad, and if not, I'll make your meat available like the meat of the deer and the rams of the field. The Targum in Shir HaShirim, Perek Ches, Pasuk Dalet, adds that Mashiach is saying to the Jewish people, why are you being miskar be'umais to leave Golas? And why are you antagonizing the armies of Gog u'Magog? Wait a little bit until the armies that went against Yerushalayim are destroyed. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember his love for the Tzadikim, and it'll be his Ratzayin to bring the Geula. This is one of the main sources of this famous Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum Zatzal, who held that it's forbidden to establish a Jewish state, and it's forbidden to encourage Aliyah, since this is inherently a rebellion against the Umayyads. He adds that the Holocaust was a fulfillment of the next part of the Gemara, that in Mekaymen es HaShvua Mutav, V'yemlav ani matyas pisarachem kitzvois uchay lois hasadeh. Many argue with the Satmar Rebbe for the following reason. Number one, the Isser is not brought in the Rambam or in the Rif. So maybe it's advice, but it's not a chiyuv. However, there are other paiskim, for example, the Pa'as HaShulchan and Simen Aleph, who does agree with the Satmar Rebbe that it's Taka Aser. The second point is that even if those shitas would be correct, that it's Aser to be miskar ba'umais, but Klal Yisrael, the Jews, were given permission by the English, who owned the land, through Kivush. and later was recognized by the United Nations. So that's not called being Oyla B'chayma. The Chafetz Chaim in Shem Oylam Shar Hischazkus, Perek Yudalid, says that V'yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noisein B'leiv Malchei Ha'umais She'yakiru Kulam Ha'emes V'yirtzu Lehetiv Im Yisrael U'che'inyin She'nemar B'kayresh She'hichriz B'choyl Malchusai Mi Bochea Mikol Amoi Yihi Alekav Imoi V'yoal. So you see that the Bayis Sheni was built Birshus the Umais. So too Klai Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael also Birshus the English government who ruled there, and finally by the recognition given by the United Nations. There's a pirush on Shir HaShirim, which is miyuchas to the Ramban. So there in Perek Ches, he says that the coming of the Mashiach will be with the reshus of the Umais, just as the return from Golus, Bavel, was with the permission of Koresh, the king of Paras. The Gra says that if we're not Zeicha, the final Geula will be with the Sarusa de la Sata, meaning with the permission of the Umais, just as Koresh gave permission to build the second Beis HaMegash. And only later will the Geula be elevated to coming Milamala, as the Pasuk says, Uverachamim Gedoilim Akabtzeich. Another argument against the Satmar Rebbe is that he says that the Holocaust is a result of Zionism. But the counter-argument is that the Holocaust caused the creation of the State of Israel. It cannot have been a punishment for Zionism. And secondly, we know the famous saying in those days was, Berlin is our Jerusalem. If anything, the Holocaust is because people forgot about Eretz Israel. Like the Meshech Chachma says in Parshas Bichu Kaisai. Also, Rav Shlomo Kluger says, since the Goyim did not keep their Shavuos, we don't have to keep our Shavuos. And since they were Meshtabdid B'Yisrael, Yoser Midai, we don't have to keep the Shavuos of Shalayalu B'chayma. And the Gra held that the Shavuos only refers to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, not to Eretz Yisrael, which is also the Mashmoyis in the Pasuk, which was discussing when Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael and were asking to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam, as you mentioned earlier, does not mention the Gimel Shavuos. And the Avnei Nezer in Yeridei Achelik Bei Simen Tofnun Dalid says that the Etzem Kavana of the Gimel Shavuos is really not a command and it's not a warning. It's a Shavua to the Sherish of the Neshamas of the Umais in Shemayim, or to the Sherish of the Neshama of the Yidden in Shemayim. And even after the Shavua, there's no Aveira on the Guf if you're not Mekayim it, because the Guf HaAdam was not Mekabel the Shavua. And even on the Neshama, there won't be a Einish if it causes the person to do it. But Al Kapanim, in other words, even after the Shavua, there's no Aveira on the Guf HaAdam if the Guf doesn't keep the Shavua that the Neshama made. Because the Guf HaAdam never made the Shavua. And on the Neshama, there won't be a punishment if it tries to get the person to go against the Shavuos, and if the Guf's not Mekabel. But in that case, there will be a break in the connection between the Neshama, the person, and the Eivishter. And once we break that connection, we lose the Ashgacha Pratis, and we become Hefker Kechayis HaSadeh. And that's why the Rambam doesn't bring it down, because it's not a Halacha L'maisa Dekedin, it's only a Din for the Sheiresh HaNeshama. The famous Gemara in Megillah talks about how the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were Mesakein Shemoyne Esrei, and the order of the Brachos. And the Gemara shows how the whole Shemoyne Esrei is really based around Mashiach coming. The Bracha of Geula, the seventh Bracha, the Gemara says, is because the Geula is going to start in the seventh year. This is not referring to Geulas Haaretz or Kibbutz Goliath. That will happen much later on. But it's referring to a Geula from the Tzaris while we're still in Golas. This is referred to as Aschalta de Geula. The bracha before Shemone Esrei of Gol Yisrael is referring to the Geula from Mitzrayim and also to the Geula of Mashiach. And there's a fundamental difference between the two Geulas. Aschalta de Geula can be brought about through anyone. Even Rishayim can be part of the Aschalta de Geula, like we find that Yeravam ben Nevat in Melachim Beis Perik Yedalid was a Rasha, and he was a Shliach to save Klal Yisrael, because he had his chus of not being Mekabel Lashon Hara. However, the final Geula will be brought through real Tzadikim and not through people who are not from. Rav Shimon Schwab emphasized that this will answer any question one may have about the creation of the State of Israel. It's only Aschalta de Geula, and therefore Tzadikim did not have to be involved. The next bracha is the bracha of Refuah, the eighth bracha, because eight milah is on the eighth day. Birchas Hashanim, the ninth bracha, is because the land of Eretz Yisrael gives produce to show the return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, and Rashi there, and the Marsha there say that the Eretz Yisrael giving off fruit is a sure sign that the Geula is on the way. As a side point, it comes out that the bracha of Berchas Hashanim is be'ikr for the produce in Eretz Yisrael, even though we're living in America. So this perhaps can be related to the famous Kasha of the Rush. The Rush asks that, why do we say v'sein talu mater when we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, according to the seasons in Eretz Yisrael? And he suggests that perhaps in Europe we should adjust it so that the dates should not coincide, should coincide with the seasons in Chutz La'aretz, in Europe or in America. Or we should ask for rain in our rain seasons, not the rain seasons in Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps this can help answer that be'ikr, the tefillah is for the parents of Eretz Yisrael, which are an indication of the Geula. The next bracha is Kibbutz Goliath, which follows Eretz Yisrael giving up Paris. The next bracha is the myth bracha of Shoftim. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says that in the ends of days, the footsteps of Mashiach, the descendants of the Erev Rav will stand at the head of the nation. And the same Erev Rav will not only be the leaders of the government, but will be at the head of the judicial system. As the Gemara says, that Ein Ben David Ba, Ad Sheyichlu HaShoftim, until the judges are finished from among Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael, as it says, "Va'ashiva sheftayach kevarishayna," that the sheftim will come back to the way they used to be, which proves that at the time, the judges will be worthy of being replaced. They won't be roi, and this shows that we'll have a government run by a judicial system, run by the Erev Rav, before Mashiach comes, and hashiva sheftenu kevarishayna. Those judges should be returned and become the way they used to be. The Yerushalmi discusses the Churban of Beitar and says that there will be a Memshala in Eretz Yisrael that will be cut short. There was a Memshala in Beitar that was cut short and will not come back until Mashiach, which is Mashma, that what's coming back is connected to Mashiach. But says the Yerushalmi, it's going to be a weak government, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says on Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, that after this, the government will become very strong and they'll be humbled when Mashiach comes. Also, the Malbim in Micha, Perek Dalet Pasuk Ches, says that Shehagaluyos Yaschilu Lehiskabetz, and then he says Ve'achri Kein Uva'a HaMemshala HaRishayna, that will start coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and only later the first Memshala will come back. Tavei Memshala Ketana. First will be a small Memshala, Sheyiye Lehem Ketzas Memshala, V'anhaga K'may Shehaya L'Yisrael B'yamim HaRishayinim. V'yachari Kein, Yiye Lehem Malchus Kavua, Shehu Malchus Beis David. Only then will come a permanent Malchus, like Malchus Beis David, She'achari Kein Yimloich Melech HaMashiach, B'memlacha kavua, with a permanent kavua, permanent melucha. The next bracha is for the Sanhedrin. meaning Ashiva Shevteni Kavarishaina. Then the bracha is Velam Al Shinem, meaning that once the Sanhedrin are brought back, they're going to judge the Rishayim. The Radakin Yeshaya Perik Aleph on the Pasuk of Ashiva Yodi Alayach says that by Yemais HaMashiach all the Rishayim will be eradicated. The next bracha is Tzadikim, because once you do Din Bar Rishayim, Misrimeres Karnam Shel Tzadikim. The next bracha is Yushalayim, because Yushalayim is going to be rebuilt with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash after Sanhedrin is back, after the Sanhedrin did Din Bar Rishayim. And then is the bracha of Tzemach David, that only after the previous stages will Mashiach come. Also, the Medrash on Yerushalmi and Maaser Sheni, Perek Hei, say that Mashiach ben David will not come before Yerushalayim is rebuilt. But there will be another dimension to Mashiach coming, and that is Achdus. The Yalkut says that Klal Yisrael will not be Nigal until they come together as one unit. Also, in Parshas Vezeis HaBracha, it says that Vayihi B'Yishurin Melech B'Hisasef Rashiyam, that the Melech HaMashiach will come at a time when the leaders gather together, Yachad Kol Shiftei Yisrael. The next bracha is Shema Keleinu, that once these events unfold, we have a tefillah, as the Pasuk says, V'havi Yosim El Har Kodshi. And Kivesi Beis Tefillah Yikari L'chal Ha'amim. And the next bracha is the bracha of Avoda, followed by Haidah, followed of Shalim, all sequential in the Seder of the coming of Mashiach. So the structure of Shemini Esrei is all around the Geula. We also say the Mizmor of Yancha Hashem B'Yem Tzara, meaning Geula comes from Tzareis. Niran Nabi Shuasecha, Ata Yadati, Ki Hashia Hashem Meshichai, and Hashem Hashia HaMelech Yaneinu B'Yem Kereinu. It's all a continuation, and then we continue with Uvalet Tzion Goyal as a continuation of the tefillahs for the Geula of Klal Yisrael, ultimately culminating in saying Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos. There is one other tefillah which is also all about Mashiach, and that's Kaddish. Kaddish is completely structured around the theme of Geula. The words Yiskadal v'Yiskadash are taken from a pasuk in Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Chav Gimel, that says V'Yiskadalti V'Yiskadashti Le'enei HaGoyim. This pasuk is discussing the effect of the war of Goyg u'Magog, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be great as a result of the pasuk, as the pasuk in Zechariah says in Perek Yidal Pasuk Tes, Vayoy Mahu Yiyah Hashem Echad U'Shemoy Echad. The entire tefillah of Kaddish is that there should be this Kiddush of Shemoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will come about through the war of Gog u'Magog. Nusach Sfard says now, V'yatzmach perkanei v'karev Mashichei, which refers to the Geula from the Galus, the ingathering of the Galuyos and the coming of the Mashiach. And we then ask in Kaddish, Ba'agala uvizman karev, it should happen speedily in the near future. The Gra in Ateres Eliyahu and Parshas Hoazinu on the Pasuk of Ki Karev Yoim Edom says that this includes a Bakasha that the events of Gog u'Magog, of Eliyahu HaNavi, Mashiach, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and Tchias HaMeshim should unfold rapidly. That's Ba'agolo V'zman Karev, that all of those sequence of the end of days should all happen quick. In the Siddur of the Rekeach, he explains Ba'agolo is a translation of Pisaim, referring to the pasuk in Malachi Perek Gimel, Pisaim Yavai El Heichalei Ha'odin Asher Atem Evakshem. Ubizman Karev means to bring the time even sooner, like it says, Achishena. In addition, the words Yehei Shmei Rabba is the same tefillah, though with a hidden meaning. Shmei is Shem Ka. The pasuk says that as long as Amalek's exists, Hashem's name Ka is not complete. Therefore, we daven that Yehei Shem Ka Mivarach Li'olam Li'olmei Omaya, that Amalek should be eradicated. This is also brought down in the Torah Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Nun Vav. The Aruch HaShulchan there in Aruch Chaim Nun Vav adds that Le'ela Min Kol Berchasa V'Shirasa Tishbachasa V'Nechamasa, that Nechamasa refers to the Nevuos of Nechama for Achris Hayamim. Let me tell you a vort from Rabbi Nachum Mendel Per, Maizeda, Zatzal, who many Gedolim would say about him that he's one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, whose in Zchus the world exists. In 1973, Henny Kissinger negotiated the end to the Yom Kippur War with shuttle diplomacy that had begun on October 6, 1973, when Egypt and Syria attacked Israel. A congregant of Rabbi Per Shul came to him and said, Rebbe, there's going to be peace because Henry Kissinger is doing shuttle diplomacy. So he responded that we say at the end of Kaddish, Oysa Shalom Bimraimov, Hu Yasa Shalom Aleinu, that he who makes Shalom Bimraimov, he should make peace on us. Why do we introduce the tefillah with saying Oysa Shalom Bimraimov? Most tefillahs don't have that introduction. It teaches us that to bring about shalom for others, you have to have peace in your own life, with the people closest to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who makes shalom among the malachim, who yasa shalom aleinu? So Rabbi Per said, Henry Kissinger, who's divorced, and Golda Meir, who also divorced, there's no way they can bring peace to the Middle East. In 1964, Henry Kissinger divorced his wife, Anne Fleischer, and Golda Meir divorced her husband, Morris, in the late 30s. The coming events of the Geula should be always on the front of our minds. Our tefillos, which includes tens of tefillos per day, are saturated and embedded with the love and the yearning for the final Geula.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.